Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today, and it's a, the weather seems to be changing a little bit, from this super hot weather to cooling off, and, we're going to talk a little bit about weather today, too. We're going to talk about signs and designs. Very interesting. So signs that we see, even signs that we see, God making signs, and then our own designs, what we think life should be, what we want to shape life into, what we want to shape truth into, and ignoring the signs that God sends us and continuing on with the designs that we want. And sometimes it doesn't work out very well. Works out horribly. And we see some of this now in the church. It's been going on for 2,000 years. It's been going on ever since there have been human beings. People working against the will of God. What God wants. And us just, doing whatever we want. And unfortunately, we get people in leadership positions, not only within the church, but within government, federal government, state, local. And sometimes you wonder whether, myself anyway, I wonder whether people are even if they have a brain left in their head, or a heart left in their chest. It just seems like they have become, I don't want to use the word moron, but it's almost like they've become they've been emptied out, see? And this is what happens when we design our own life. We do not look at the signs that God is sending us. We do not look at the, the Ten Commandments that God has laid in front of us, especially those, just to be honest, just to be truthful. In recovery, they talk about to thine own self be true. And I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, that is our biggest problem. We are liars. We are liars, not only to other people, but to ourselves. And, it's very easy to say, this group or that group. And, of course, there are groups of people, people who have, gained power that way in their group for what they want. And, then they get what they want and then they're still not satisfied because it goes against the will of God. And that's what this program's all about. This program, this Epiphany Radio program, is all about. It's all about having an epiphany and an awakening to the truth. And so hopefully we'll provide a little bit of that for you today, September 9th, 2018, this 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the scriptures are very simple. Very simple today. Very simple. So we'll begin with that. But in case you would like to listen to anything else about the Catholic Church, you can go to the holyfamilyradio.net. They have a number of local radio stations in southwestern Michigan. It's mainly EWTN programming. You can go to EWTN.com. And also another new source, another good news source other than Fox News or CNN or some of the other stuff is EWTNnews.com. Then you get a real perspective of what's going on in the church. Even though, some of this, the horrible stuff that's happened way in the past, and we mostly want to be attentive to the victims of abuse or anything that's happened to anyone. That's always been the church's mission. But unfortunately, sometimes, bad people get in the church and bad things happen. And for that, we're very sorry for those things happening in the past. But unfortunately, my brothers and sisters, this stuff still goes on today. And I'm not saying that absolutely not so much in the church, but in all the other different organizations, governmental organizations, schools and such. So, keep a close eye on your children. Keep a close eye on your teenagers. Talk to them. Talk to your kids, even after they get 18, 19, 20 years old. Talk to them. Talk to them about what's going on in the workplace. Talk to them if they go to the seminary. What's going on there? What are the people like there? You know, are they good people? You know, when they go to the colleges, talk to them about their professors. Are they good professors? You know, or are they lording over them in such a way, or even kind of like stalking them or coercing them to do or say or whatever, in any way, shape, or form, you know, and that type of abuse should be reported and should not be put up with. And if you don't get result out of the university police, you know, call the sheriffs. And if you don't get a response out of the sheriff, then call the state police. And if you don't get it out of the state police, then, you know, call the FBI or whomever you would call. You can call me. I would advocate for you, absolutely, as I'm sure any good priest or deacon or bishop in the church would come to your defense and to your help and to your aid. And we need to battle against this evil. We need to battle against sin. And the only way we can do that is with the love of Jesus Christ and the fullness of the faith of the Holy Catholic Church. We need to battle against evil every single day. And the biggest way we do that is through prayer. So let us go into our readings. Our first reading today is from Isaiah 35:4-7. Thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert, and rivers in the steep. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading today is from James 2:1-5. That's James, the book of James, 2:1-5. My dear brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if a man with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and a poor person in shabby clothes also comes in, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here, please, while you say to the poor one, stand there or sit at my feet. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil designs? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beautiful, beautiful reading from the book of James there. And then our gospel reading today is the gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 7, 31-37. Again, a reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment, and begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd, put his fingers into the man's ears, and spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened. His speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So beautiful scripture readings, and we're going to go through all three of these. I'm also going to talk about a few other things, but in case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zumlick, and we're here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And this is the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, September 9th, 2018. And it's a great week for us to be in prayer, too, as we remember back from September 11th and the tragedy of September 11th. And to be in prayer that day, too, especially for those families who were directly affected by the September 11th terrorist attacks, which in some ways was a sign for us all, too, all of these things that happened. And we wonder sometimes if God is even listening to us. Well, my brothers and sisters, He is listening. And He is watching. And He is seeing us. He's seeing how we live, the debauchery that we live in, the debauchery that we celebrate, the lying and the cheating, the sinfulness that we celebrate. And that we don't care. We turn our heads away from Him. We don't go to church. We don't pray. We don't say we're sorry. We kill our own children. We go to war for all different kinds of reasons, sometimes justly. And we see other religions and other faiths thinking that they're doing God's will by killing innocent people. When they're not doing God's will, they're doing their own will. They're doing the devil's will, as many of us do from time to time. And we see, even within our own church walls, the devil doing horrible things. And we see all this brought up from the past and put in front of us again, almost like the Holocaust. But we have multiple Holocausts, my brothers and sisters. But my question to you today is, what are you doing about it? What signs do you see? What eyes do you need open? Do you need your vision, a new pair of glasses, something to help you see? And I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, nothing is better for the sight than prayer. You can say, well, I went to this church, or I went to that church, or I used to be Catholic, or I used to be Christian, or I used to do this or that. But what are you doing today? Have you totally withdrawn from everything and just blaming it on the politicians, or blaming it on this church or that church, or saying that God doesn't exist at all? I don't believe in anything. I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I'm this or that. Well, my brothers and sisters, that's not what our lives are about. We are to look at these things, these signs and wonders. There's a lot of beauty in the world. There's a lot of terrible things that need work, no doubt. Especially when we see the homeless, children, the abuse that goes on, the cruelty that goes on. But I just kind of want to use this one word to describe all of it. The sexual impurities that we have, you know, what we do with other people, how we use other people. But I want to boil it down to just this one thing, because, you know, so often we think that it's, you know, this group or that group, it's their fault. But I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, I think our greatest sin is that we lie. We are liars. We are liars. We don't look at the signs. We see the signs and we lie to ourselves. You know, we see the destructive sexual lifestyle that we're in and the diseases that come from that. And we say, well, it's not because of that. It's not because I'm doing that. It's not because of my promiscuity that I have multiple sex partners. That's not why I'm sick. That's not why I'm dying. That's not why I have these sicknesses directly affected from my promiscuity. So we lie. And the most tragic lies, we lie to ourselves. And we lie to God, of course. We do it in our jobs. We do it with our family members. We don't say we're sorry, which is a type of lie. And so we don't look at these signs that God is showing us. And God shows us these signs, you know, people who become healed. I find myself to be one of those people who have been healed by the grace of God 25 years ago. And really being healed from my addiction 24 years ago. My addiction to alcohol. And other addictions too, connected with that. And other impure things, impure ways of living. Hey, oh, that's no big deal. No big deal. Everybody does that. Everybody doesn't do that. I go to the strip club. Everybody does that. Everybody doesn't do that. You know, divorce my wife. Live with a girlfriend. Live with my boyfriend. Have a boyfriend and a girlfriend. So what? I can do what I want to do. Well, many people have said, you know, you can do what you want to do maybe today, but maybe not tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow you'll be gone, or next week, or next year. And is that the life you want to live? My brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ has come to save us all, especially those in most need of His mercy and His love. And many times we will, and even the church, even the Catholic Church has done this, to the point of saying that, you know, sodomy is not a sin, that getting divorced is not a sin, that living together is not a sin, that lying about certain things is not a sin. Even some very liberal Catholic churches believe that, say that, preach that. You know, the priest who was in New York City, who was at the families thing, you know, said, you know, at the celebration of families thing, it was very much that way. Very much that the gay lifestyle is perfectly fine. You know, that we're the bad ones. We're the bad people by pointing out the signs that God shows us when we are sinning. The signs that God shows us when, after we've been through a relationship after relationship after relationship, that yes, maybe I do have same-sex attraction. Maybe I have that. But the answer to it is chastity. See? The answer for all of us is chastity, purity. But we don't want to look at that. We don't want to say that. Well, I can't say that because my friend over here has been divorced and remarried 4 times. And my friend over here lives with his girlfriend or with his boyfriend. And I got friends over here who do this and they do that. And they go to the strip club and they lie all the time and they cuss like sailors. Not that all sailors cuss. I'm sure there's other people who cuss too besides sailors. But do you see what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters? We're not looking at this. We're not having a dialogue about sin. We're not having a dialogue. We're not having a dialogue about our unrighteousness. And so we are liars. See? Before all of it, we are liars. In the garden, we are a liar. God asks us, what have we done? We lie. We lie. We lie about it. It makes me want to cry. It makes me want to cry. It is so terrible. So we see this in Isaiah. Who can clear our ears and who can make us speak the words of truth? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He touches our ears, touches our tongue with the Holy Eucharist. So am I following signs or designs? Designs are these evil things. Designs are these evil things. But signs can be very good. Can be points to where we turn away from the sinfulness. And this beautiful thing from, and of course, we also see here too, how we discriminate against other people, discriminate against the poor. James points this out. Then sit at my feet. Sit on the floor. See? We value a person. We value a person by what kind of car they drive, what kind of house they live in, what kind of job they have, what position that they have. And that has become a great influencer. You know, maybe there will be someone in the community who is so wealthy and they're tired of hearing Deacon Louis Zemlich on the radio. They'll say, get him off the radio. I don't want to listen to that anymore. No one should have to listen to that. Well, in Canada, I probably couldn't say half of these things in Canada because it's illegal. There's no freedom of speech. And in many European countries, there's no freedom of speech. You can't talk about these things. You can't dialogue about sin. You can't dialogue about being a liar. You can't dialogue about what lifestyle you live, whether it is virtuous or whether it is death. Because that's what it is, ultimately, is it's death. But it's lying. Lying to ourselves. And no one wants to speak the truth. Everybody just sits around the table. I don't want to hurt your feelings, so I'm not going to say anything to you. You look terrible, but I'm not going to tell you that you should go see a doctor. That you look like you're dying. I'm not going to say anything to you. Even though I know that you drink awfully a lot, and I know that your liver's probably going to give out in the next month or two, but I'm not going to say anything to you because I don't want to offend you. I don't want to hurt your feelings. That's where we've come. That's how we think. It is insanity. We are there. We are there. Question is, do you participate? Are you one of the insane people too? I've been there. I can be there. I can go there at any time. Oh, Louis, don't hurt their feelings. Don't say anything to them. And meanwhile, Jesus Christ is saying, you better say something. They're dying. No one else will say anything. Say something, please. God help us. God help us. So this gospel reading, this beautiful, so the designs, we have become, made distinctions amongst yourselves and become judges with evil designs. Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? See, so beautiful. And this gospel reading also about these signs. We see these signs. Often Jesus asks the sick to believe. He makes use of the signs to heal. Spittle and the laying on of hands. Mud and washing. He performs healing and illustrates his preaching with physical signs and symbolic gestures. He gives new meaning to deeds and signs of the old covenant. For he himself is the meaning of these signs. Jesus Christ. I also want to touch on the theology of the body, which is a constant throughout our humanity. This beautiful tabernacle, our human bodies, and how it needs to be treated with love and respect and not lied about. How important our bodies are. And so I invite you to go to this original unity of man and woman by St. Pope John Paul II. And this is from St. Peter's in Rome, the November 7th, many, many years ago. And I'm missing the date on this right here. Oh, here it is right here. In 1975, the 7th of November, 1975. Holy Father continues to lay the groundwork of his theology of the body, meditating on Adam's sleep, for which the division of the sexes emerged out of that. See? And so it's about four pages, but I'll tell you, look it up online. You can go to EWTN.com and look up Theology of the Body, Pope John Paul. And but I do want to read this little passage out of Humanae Vitae. It's the 50th anniversary of that, my brothers and sisters. And so much of this, very prophetic, has come true, unfortunately. Many of the things from Fatima from 100 years ago have come true. The destruction of the family have come true. See, we believed in these lies of communism, the lies of, you know, let's get divorced, let's kill our babies, let's do whatever we want to do, let's have sex with whoever we want to have sex with. Let's just, you can do whatever you want. And they call that freedom, but it's not freedom. It's death. It's the design of the devil to kill us all and to try to destroy the church, but it's not going to work because we are going to battle against it. This is from the encyclical letter of His Holiness Pope Paul VI. So I want to read this in characteristics. This is from page 12 of it, paragraph 9. In this light, one sees clearly the characteristical marks and requirements of conjugal love. It is the highest importance to have the exact understanding of these marks and requirements. This love is first and all fully human. That is to say, it is the same time both physical and spiritual. It is not therefore a simple transport of instinct and feelings, but also and principally an act of the free will, destined to endure and grow by means of the joys and sorrows of daily life, in such a way that husband and wife become one heart and one soul, and together attain their human perfection. And this love is total. That is to say, it is a very special form of personal friendship in which husband and wife generously share everything without undue reservation or selfish calculation. Whoever truly loves his spouse does not love her only for what he receives from her, but for herself, happy to be able to enrich her with the gift of himself. So my brothers and sisters, it's about love. Don't be a liar. Don't lie to God, and don't lie to yourself. Let us be in prayer this week. Pray for our Lord Jesus Christ to come into our hearts, for the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts, and for God the Father to help us by his wonders and signs. And may Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.